You know, this morning, very first thing I want to do to ask is to ask each and every one of us that are gathered here this morning the question. And this question is, how do you know that God has actually forgiven you? How do you know that? You know, this is a frequently asked question by so many people because they talk about things that they've done in their life, things that they've done in their past life, whatever the question or the case may be. But people make mistakes. And we may say that, well, maybe I haven't followed the golden rule. That was Mark's sermon just from last week, as well as I should have. People fall into sins. And though they struggle back out of those sins, they still wonder whether God could ever forget such a sinner as themselves. Because perhaps God has totally rejected them because they went way, way, way too far, or they did way, way, way too much damage. They can't accept themselves. So the question is, so why should God? And that leads me into the title of this morning's sermon. And that title is, At Peace with God. You know, we can have peace with God. Let's turn, Bruce read this morning in our scripture reading, to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse number 1. And it reads right there that therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes when we put our trust in God. And I'm talking not just part of the time, not just on Wednesdays, not just on Sundays. I'm talking all of the time. Because it was announced as so when Jesus was born with regard to putting our trust in the Lord. Let's turn to Luke, the book of Luke. And this is chapter 2, and starting at verse number 13. This is when Jesus was born. And what does it say here? It reads, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to the God in highest. You know, having peace with God, it was what Jesus offered his own disciples. Because prior to Jesus' death, he warned the disciples that they would abandon him at a critical time. And to learn more about that, let's go to the book of Matthew this time. Matthew 26. And starting at verse number 31. And see what it says there. Matthew 26, starting at verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, and we know this story, but Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the very same thing. And we know how this turns out. But what does it say, reading still in Matthew 26, this time going to verse number 73, What does it say after denying Jesus three times? Matthew 26, this time we're going to start in verse number 73. And it reads here, a little later, the bystanders came up and they said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus has said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. I can't even imagine what Peter must have felt when that rooster crowed. Talk about shaking your boots. But he denied him. Yet when Jesus visited them after his resurrection, what was said? Let's go to John chapter 20. John 20 and verse number 19. And what does it say here? Because Jesus is among his disciples here. In verse 19 it reads, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you. Peace be with you.'" You know, we can have peace with God because we stand in God's grace. Once again, from the scripture reading this morning, let's go back to Romans chapter 2. And let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. I'm sorry. And this was in the scripture reading this morning. And it reads here, "Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God." You know, having faith in Jesus gives us access to God's grace. And this isn't just a one-shot deal that saves us, but one in which becomes our foundation of life. Believing in the Lord, who in turn believing in God. And it comes through a gospel message. And that message, I believe, talks more about it in 1 Corinthians this time. In chapter 15. And this is the first and second verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is about the fact of Christ's resurrection. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." If you believe in vain, it's not going to be any good for you. Because if we walk in the light and we are obedient to the truth, we stand in God's grace. But I'm being honest. This is not to say that some or all of us will stumble from time to time. But that if we take our stand in righteousness and renounce our sins, Jesus will take care of our sins, no matter how severe that you may think they are. Because in 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 1, it says this, because it reads, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." When we deal with the things on a day-to-day basis, or things that we've done in the past, or the way we've acted, word, thought, deed, whatever the case may be, And we just don't know if God has actually forgiven you. Words like this should spark your interest and you should take hope in those once again. God is able to make a stand. God is able to make a stand. We can have peace with God, and we stand in God's grace, and we can exalt in hope. Once again, the scripture reading this morning, this time, Romans 5 once again, and we're going to read 2 through 5, see what it says here about this. We can exalt in hope. Once again, starting in verse number 2, it says, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, standing in God's grace, I realized that despite my failures, God will forgive me, God will cleanse me, and God will keep me safe. And we should have that in our hearts, in our minds, and our body, because it is a joy that is so strong that it survives hardships that we face each and every day. It survives the attacks that people may make to us each and every day, the criticism that some people may give to us each and every day, and persecution maybe also each and every day. But whatever the world throws at us, our joy should not waver. We should remain steadfast. What does it say in James 1 and starting at verse number 2? James 1, starting at verse number 2. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We don't see the hard times. We shouldn't see the hard times. Because, like it says here, it is testing our spirit, it's testing our strength, it's testing our religion. It's the opportunity to grow. It is not the situation that creates happiness, but the trust in God that we are saved by His grace. We've talked about we can have peace with God. We stand in God's grace. We can exalt in hope. And we are saved also from the wrath of God. It's written in the Bible that God's anger comes upon the ones that are disobedient. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and see what it says here. Ephesians 5. Beginning at verse number 5. And it reads here, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers in them. Pretty self-explanatory. God's wrath, it is shown against the ungodly and the unrighteous. Romans chapter 1. Talks a little bit more about that. Romans 1 and verse number 18. This talks about the unbelief and the consequences that you may face. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Without a doubt, folks, you've heard from other people, not just me, each and every one of us sin. No one is perfect. And when you stop and think about it, the sins that we commit, maybe we deserve to face God's anger. But I don't believe so. God went out of his way to show us the love. And I know it's not on your sheets that you're handed, but it sounds like it comes from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That says a lot to me. And we didn't deserve it. The kindness that God has shown us, the love that God's. And in Romans chapter 5, it talks a little bit more about this. We weren't deserving of this. Romans 5, and we're going to start at verse number 6. And it reads, "For why we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us. And that is the point that we need to realize, to be at peace with God. No matter what you think of yourself, no matter what other people may think of yourself. When we say we don't deserve to be saved, we are rejecting God's gift and his love that he gave towards us. When they think they've done things so bad, I don't deserve to be saved. Well, you're turning down God's love and his gift that he gave us. But when we trust in God and the sacrifice that he made for us, the gracious gift that God offered us, then we can have peace and we can have joy. Because the anger is removed, we are reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians. Turn there with me if you would please. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It reads here that therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. His Son, perfect, no sins, but yet he lived his life here on earth, and we know the story about that, how he died for your sin and for my sin. But this gift that we talk about, it must be accepted by putting on Christ's death. Romans chapter 6 is where we're going now. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse number 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism in death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You know, like I said before, we may stumble, we may fall, but if we walk in the light, we can be cleansed. The last scripture reading I have for today is going to be in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." All sin. And once again, the title was At Peace with God. You should have peace with God. I hope to pray that you obey that. And this morning, we never close out a sermon without offering an invitation. And the people that are here quite frequently, they know how this works. If you're having problems, if you need some help with the fellow Christians, or if you're not a Christian and you would like to become one, we have everything ready for you. But what we need to do is we need to hear that Jesus, listen to his words, read his words. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Talking about sins, we need to repent of those sins. Confess Jesus and be baptized, fully immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sin. And I always close it out each and every time I'm up here, and to be faithful always. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night, but 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So if there's anybody in the audience that would like to become a Christian or not, or if we can help you out in any way, we ask that you please come forward and we sing the song of invitation that Mark selected.